Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, May 9, 2018. South Sudan's deputy head of mission in the United States reacts to a White House statement accusing the Kiir administration of killing its own people.
This one is sending a wrong signal to the rebels. If the United States, the White House position that they have taken today, will embolden the opposition, because why would the opposition keep talking to the government that has been declared as not credible, you see? So it's not helpful to the peace process.
And a U.S. embassy official in Juba supports the White House position on South Sudan.
We no longer feel the transitional government of national unity is an inclusive government. They've been the forced exile of key leadership representatives who signed the peace agreement in 2015. And to that end, the United States condemns any unilateral effort of the current government to extend its power.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The White House issued a statement yesterday on South Sudan, expressing its frustration with the ongoing conflict while questioning the inclusivity of the transitional government of national unity. It was met with angry reaction by a top South Sudanese diplomat in the United States, who called the statement a step backward for peace negotiations. Ayen Deng-Bior has more from Washington.
The government of South Sudan has lost credibility, and the United States is losing patience, says the statement issued by the White House. It also said the government's leaders have squandered its partnership with the U.S. after pilfering the wealth of South Sudan and killing its own people. Ambassador Gordon Boy, the charge of the affairs of South Sudan's embassy in Washington, thinks the strongly worded statement could have unintended consequences.
This one is sending a wrong signal to the rebels. If the United States, the White House position that they have taken today, will embolden the opposition, because why would the opposition keep talking to the government that has been declared as not credible, you see? So it's not helpful to the peace process.
The statement says the United States is, quote, deeply frustrated with the lack of progress toward an agreement, and it must ensure our shared efforts reflect the urgency of the situation. It says the U.S. will initiate a comprehensive review of its assistance programs to South Sudan, namely the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission and other mechanisms that support the 2015 peace agreement. Isaac Gung, appointed by former First Vice President Riek Machar as the U.S. representative of the SPLM in opposition, says the frustrated tone of the statement is shared by many, and his party welcomes the new aggressive position taken by the White House.
This is long overdue, and I think as soon as they do this, I think it will give a sense to the government that, this trickery that there is an ongoing implementation of the peace agreement is no longer accepted by the world at large. And the sooner the actions are taken, the sooner this government will realize that it is not business as usual, because they think they have been running circles around all of the bodies that are guaranteeing that are calling for peace in the country. And they managed to do that successfully, especially with the previous administration. Now, this administration has done something that is very different, and that is we will not accept words, we need actions.
Don Moses, a South Sudanese American in the East Coast state of Virginia, says recent demands by top U.S. officials to adhere to the ceasefire agreement and allow unhindered humanitarian access have been ignored. He says he's surprised the statement did not come sooner.
One thing about South Sudan is people have learned to buy time. But what they didn't know is that this government, the Trump administration, is not going to continue to play that game. You know, whereby they buy time and then they get away with things. It's not going to be the same game like what they did when Obama administration was, in power.
Nelson Laponi, another South Sudanese American in the southern state of Texas, also embraces the White House statement and the Trump administration's intention to hold the perpetrators of crimes accountable.
There are very few people who are in the government there, and they take advantage of the situation right now. Instead of bringing that war to an end, they escalate the war. And I think the people are tired and sick and and they're really frustrated as to what to do.
The White House's assessment is that the transitional government of national unity in South Sudan is no longer inclusive, a view that Ambassador Boy is quick to dismiss.
You better ask the White House about the definition of inclusivity. Is it the representation of political parties? Is it the tribal representation? It is them to define it. But in our definition, the government we have, if it is IO, there is IO in the government. If it is FDs, John Luke and Madhu Biara are in the government. If it is the IG, they are there. If it is other political parties, they are there. If it is if the inclusivity is defined based on party membership in the Tigonu, then all the parties are involved. If the tribal one, all the tribes are there.
The White House statement does not mention the various opposition forces. Instead, it places blame for the continued bloodshed directly on the government, which bears responsibility for protecting its citizens, according to the statement. It also blames the forced exile of key leadership representatives and signatories of the 2015 peace agreement, such as Riek Machar, on President Salva Kiir, saying the move is a cynical repudiation of the peace process. Gang agrees.
The feeling, not only from the U.S. government, but across all the spectrums, of South Sudanese, is that this government has lost trust. They have lost a sense of urgency. They have lost a sense of humanity. And, people need something else. The sooner the better.
The statement is consistent with recent actions by the U.S. State Department that signal a more aggressive approach to the conflict in South Sudan. It is also in line with recent remarks made by Thomas Hushek, the third U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, who told senators during his confirmation hearing last month, the idea is to continue to increase the pressure. Ayan Deng-Bior, VOA News, Washington.
From Washington, we move to Juba. In response to the White House statement, South Sudan's Minister of Cabinet Affairs, Martin Elia Lomuro, says the United States should engage in talks with the Kiir administration and avoid what he calls intimidation and threats. The White House statement also says any elections held under the current conditions in South Sudan are, quote, a sham and unacceptable. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
Lomuro accuses the U.S. and other members of the international community of favoring the rebels while putting all the blame for the continued fighting and atrocities on the government.
The mistake people have made, especially, unfortunately, the U.S. and other countries, including the Troika, they don't appreciate what actually happened. They're not able to ascribe precisely who was the culprit. And they have, therefore, to my mind, taken side. It's simply the government which is wrong. So it's the president who planned everything to happen. Riek Machar is innocent. The former detainees are innocent. There was no coup. That's where the problem started.
Lomuro insists the transitional government of national unity is inclusive, pointing out that some former detainees are still in the government.
John Luke is a member of the Council of Ministers. He's a minister of transport. Biar Madut is a member of parliament. The Minister of Foreign Affairs chose to run away, and his position is there. I'm only acting. When he comes back, he'll take his position. Talking about Riek was not exiled by the government of South Sudan. I would like anybody to produce for me a document showing the government of South Sudan officially requested a country to exile Riek.
The White House statement condemns the leaders of South Sudan for killing their own citizens. Mark Weinberg is the public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Juba.
The leaders of South Sudan have wasted their partnership with the United States and other international donors who supported this country from independence, have stolen the wealth of their own country, killed their own people, and demonstrated over and over again their unwillingness to live up to their commitments to end the war and uphold their obligations to allow unimpeded humanitarian access.
The White House statement says, the only path to peace for South Sudan is through a negotiated arrangement for an inclusive government. Weinberg says the current transitional government of national unity does not represent all signatories to the 2015 peace agreement.
We no longer feel the transitional government of national unity is an inclusive government. They've been the forced exile of key leadership representatives who signed the peace agreement in 2015. And to that end, the United States condemns any unilateral effort of the current government to extend its power, including through immediate elections. The United States does not believe that elections held in the current environment could be free and fair.
The White House statement says the promotion of UN-sanctioned individuals to top government positions, including General Joe Kriak, Chief of Defense Forces, demonstrates Juba's disregard for international norms. Lamoureux argues General Jock has done nothing to deserve the sanctions. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
10 South Sudanese opposition political parties have issued a statement in support of the White House's latest position on South Sudan. The interim chairman of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance says the Trump administration's reaction is long overdue. Gabriel Changchun says South Sudanese oppositions have all along been saying the government in Juba lacks credibility and should not be trusted with efforts to bring peace in South Sudan. Changchun says his alliance wants the U.S. to cut funding to the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission. We now go live to Gabriel Changchun in Nairobi. Hello, are you there? Gabriel Changchun, can you hear me?
I'm in Nairobi.
Can you hear me? Well, it looks like there's difficulties with that line. We will come back to that story later. There is a mixed reaction in South Sudan today to the first Vice President Taban Dengai's move earlier this week to dissolve his faction of the SPLM in opposition and merge it with SPLM in government, led by President Salva Kiir. As Michael Atid reports for VOA from Juba, some opposition parties call it another political game.
Deng Bior Deng, Secretary General for the National Alliance, an umbrella group of nearly 15 opposition political parties, says talk about SPLM reunification is not realistic because key leaders are still in the bush fighting the government.
If you ignore the Abdis and you ignore Riek Machar, then you have not made the unity of SPLM and you have not even made peace. Peace means these groups have to be brought on board, including the other armed groups. They must be brought on board. So the unity which has been announced, I look at it as a political game, and it's not really realistic, and it cannot bring about peace.
Bior notes that SPLM leaders are responsible for the ongoing war. He urges SPLM factions to work together to revitalize the 2015 peace agreement as the only way to restore peace and stability in the country.
If we can revitalize this agreement and begin to implement it correctly, then there will be peace in the country because there will be no other people fighting, there will be permanent ceasefire, and people will be working together. Other things to do with elections will be resolved, and things can go well. This is the way we look at it.
Bior says the National Alliance parties remain committed to working together with all other stakeholders to bring about lasting peace in the country so that South Sudanese refugees in neighboring countries, as well as the internally displaced persons living in the UN-run camps, can return to their homes. Officials from another umbrella group allied with a government called the National Agenda say they welcome the move. Pascalina Philip Waden is a leader of the South Sudan Democratic Alliance. She welcomes the decision by SPLM officials to reunify their factions and says that will help in ironing out their differences and bring peace in South Sudan. Speaking in Arabic, Waden says what the SPLM has done should be a lesson to another political groups to expand their understanding and work to develop the country.
We need to overcome the narrow way in which we look at things. As leaders, we should work for the common good of the Republic of South Sudan. This is the only way we can achieve stability and lasting peace in the country.
Francis Ben Ateba heads the United Salvation Front's mainstream, which is also allied to the government. He too welcomes the reunification of the ruling SPLM party. Ateba says the pro-government parties like his will work and support the leadership of the SPLM towards achieving lasting peace in South Sudan. He believes the reunification is already a good gesture for a success of the next round of peace talks.
As an organized political party, we will work for the peace, for the achievement of peace, and incidentally, very soon there are going to be talks taking place in Addis Ababa. We will be fully represented there, and we will ensure that peace comes again to this country. We are there here to ensure that the future for our children is guaranteed and that the refugees should come back as soon as the peace agreement is made.
Both Bior and Ataba called on the SPLM-IO led by Riek Machar and members of former detainees, led by former SPLM Secretary General Pagana Mom, to sympathize with South Sudanese citizens who have suffered for too long and work with other leaders to restore peace in the country. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the head of the UN Peacekeeping Department says the situation in South Sudan is not getting better. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
in your opinion, what are the best ways to fight corruption?
To fight corruption, our people need to be enlightened, and there should be a system in place. We need to strengthen our institutions, because if institutions are strong enough, then I'm sure corruption will be minimized.
By setting up tribunal, well, that worked. It worked really very, very smooth for Burkinabes, and in that way, Burkina Faso almost realized their dream, which was fighting corruption.
The best is to have strong institutions which are independent, like the Anti-Corruption Commission must be independent of all that proceedings, giving them powers to investigate, to prosecute, and all that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. As we told you earlier, 10 South Sudanese opposition political parties have issued a statement in support of the White House's latest position on South Sudan. The interim chairman of the South Sudan Political Alliance says the Trump administration's reaction is long overdue. Gabriel Changson says South Sudanese opposition leaders have all along been saying the government in Juba lacks credibility and should not be trusted with efforts to bring peace in South Sudan. Changson says his alliance wants the U.S. to cut funding to the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission. We now go live to Gabriel Changson in Nairobi. Gabriel, how are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Yes, can you tell us why your alliance is supporting the statement by the White House?
Hello.
Looks like we are not understanding each other on this line. We'll move to our next story. A top UN official told the UN Security Council yesterday that there is no progress in South Sudan and a lack of tangible consequences against the warring parties is to blame for the escalation of violence in some parts of the country. Ayen Deng-Bior has details from Washington.
The Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations remarks to the UN Security Council were brief but damning. Jean-Pierre Lacroix told the 15-member council yesterday South Sudan's peace process is at a critical juncture.
There must be a tangible cost for the continuation of violence in South Sudan. There must be consequences for blatant violations of the cessation of hostilities agreement and broken promises to protect civilians.
Last month, VOA reported a U.S. government official is calling on East African leaders to release 5 unpublished CITESAM reports that document violations of South Sudan's ceasefire arrangement signed in December. Lacroix agrees with the demand, asking IGAD to take the lead on publishing the reports.
The mechanism is working to monitor and verify the reported violations, but these reports are yet to be published and deliberated on. Without consequences, we have no one to blame but ourselves for allowing the crisis to escalate unchecked and perpetuating a lack of confidence in a political solution to the crisis.
Implementing a ceasefire is a distant prospect, according to Lacroix, who says SPLA and SPLA in opposition forces have intensified fighting in Unity State. The aim, according to Lacroix, is to displace communities, take hold of opposition-controlled areas, and supply routes between Bentiu and Lir. The fighting, which began about 3 weeks ago north of Mayandit, has spread through areas in north and southeast of Lir, according to Lacroix. He says civilians are not the only ones fleeing to escape the violence. Humanitarians in the area have been forced to evacuate.
Heading into the next round of the HLRF, the parties remain far apart on the critical issues of governance and security. The parties continue to argue over the ministerial quotas in any revised transitional governing arrangement, while agreement on the modalities of the peace, permanent ceasefire and transitional security arrangements, including security arrangements for Juba and reform of the security sector, remain elusive.
Another aspect that is not advancing confidence in the political process is the national dialogue, according to representatives of the South Sudan Council of Churches, who told LaCroix the national dialogue has not been constructive.
In their estimation, the national dialogue has not been an inclusive process, with many South Sudanese constituents residing in largely opposition-controlled territories excluded from the local-level consultations. Moreover, the delegation was frank about the serious violation that both sides continued to commit against civilians and expressed concern at the steady deterioration of the humanitarian and economic situation in the country.
LaCroix ended his briefing by urging the Security Council to dispel the regime change narrative used by some South Sudanese leaders to win support against the UN, which he says is meant to sow the seeds of hate and paranoia. Ayan Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
And now back to our story with the South Sudanese Opposition Alliance. As we just told you, 10 South Sudanese opposition political parties issued a statement in support of the White House's latest position on South Sudan. The interim chairman of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance says the Trump administration's reaction is long overdue. Gabriel Changshun says South Sudanese opposition have all along been saying the government in Juba lacks credibility and should not be trusted with efforts to bring peace in South Sudan. We now go to North Carolina with Kwaje Lasu, who is the spokesperson for the South Sudan Opposition Alliance. Kwaje, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Can you tell us why the Opposition Alliance is supporting the White House?
First of all, I would like to thank you, Voice of America, for bringing this issue up. We're very delighted and very happy to see the, Trump administration has come out clearly at this moment. However, we are not necessarily just supporting the White House. However, we are augmenting the process because all along, as we know, that Juba has been intransigent as far as their process and their behavior towards peace process. And that has been demonstrated many times and again through their violations of the cessation of hostility that we have signed in December 2017.
But when I speak to Juba, Juba will also say the opposition is the main obstacle on the road to peace. So you are all blaming each other and people in South Sudan are suffering.
Absolutely. We in the position we would like to represent the voices of the masses that are suffering in the country. And we are abundantly clear. Our position has been very clear to bring peace and lasting just peace in the country. Government can blame us as much as they want, but the truth of the matter that our positions, our actions always speaks a volume. We're very clear. We demand that the government at this point, in fact, is no longer legitimate because the transition mandate has ended last month. Therefore, they can play the blame game, but we in opposition stand firm that there's a need for just and lasting peace in South Sudan. And we made it abundantly clear through the violations, the countless violations of the current government. The current government demonstrated the fact that they're no longer protecting the civilian that they claim.
But
in any government, while your citizen is running away, half of your population is running away, it's a problem.
When you're saying the government, I'm using your word, you're saying the government is no longer legitimate, but you are going to meet with them in Addis Ababa. Why would you meet with someone who is not legitimate?
Well, the condition actually made us do so. And also, that could be attributed to the regional body. The regional body has been quiet all along with all the violations. Up to this moment, we haven't seen any report that has been made public by the regional body, specifically the IGAD. But we, at this point, negotiating with the government in a good faith, since they're right now still holding the process in Juba.
Thank you very much, Kwaje Lasu. That's Kwaje Lasu, the spokesperson for the South Sudan Opposition Alliance. He was speaking to me from Southern Carolina. A former South Sudan government official says he agrees with the move to assess support to the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, the body charged with the responsibility of monitoring the collapsed 2015 peace deal. David Mayen Dengdit says he thinks the peace monitoring body never submitted names of violators of the 2015 peace deal.
I've attended a number of meetings
held in the office of my former boss, Vice President Higa, and I have come to a conclusion that JEMEC has really utterly failed in its mandate in South Sudan.
And how do you reach that conclusion to say JEMEC has failed when they have been meeting, they have been meeting at Crown Hotel, they have been engaging the political parties to the conflict, and they have been issuing statements? How would you say they have failed?
In my views, four or five major areas that can prove it's a failure to ensure adherence by the warring parties to the implementation schedule of the peace agreement, of the 2015 peace agreement. JEMEC has been apportioning blames and condemnations to both parties equally instead of holding each violator accountable at a time for its specific actions and violations.
Let's get down to the 2016 violence in Juba. You were there in Juba and caught up in bullets flying left and right. Where was JEMEC? I mean, we didn't hear any statement indicating who started the fighting. All we heard was the warring parties must stop violence. But a fight starts from somewhere. Somebody starts a fight. A fight is not just random.
Yeah, in fact, this is part of apportioning blames equally to both sides, failing to account each side for its specific violations. But again, we need also to see JEMEC as a non-military actor in the middle of a civil war, and its bosses, which is the Security Council.
But their job is to monitor the peace agreement. Whoever violates it, they are supposed to come out and say, Party X did this and this and that. And that, according to the agreement, is a violation. That has not been happening. All we hear is they will codename a perpetrator as armed group or warring parties.
Well, of course, I agree with you that the people of South Sudan are sick of and tired of expressions of deep concern and reaffirmation of commitments that have always come out from JEMEC without being forceful against violators. But again, we must also look at JEMEC from its right angle. JEMEC is not a military actor. And
That's David Mayendeng, the former press secretary of South Sudan's Vice President James Wanyika. Mayen was speaking with me from Denver, Colorado earlier today. That's our show for this Wednesday. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for inviting us into your homes and vehicles. Would like to know what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Sunubata nasi maderuge ni sawa sunubata wenu salam takulio wenu salam nasi maderuge ni sawa wenu salam jiran bada mashaki asana nami lotuko lotuko yeah do you faba jafibe Asana nami loko ya Tere tere bidunia de Tere tere Sibu nasi sambala Tere tere Suata ta dunia de mama Suata Nasi mutu sambala Suata Police dugu wana kofsaki Galiana mina Amerika Galiana mina Amerika Timuana sakit mama Galiana wewe min Uganda Tugende Kampala Jirana bafata ba Asana na mindidinga